Welcome to ReadFlow Weekly. It's the week of September 5th to the 12th, 2026, and we begin with a fundamental question of control. How fast is too fast? That's the urgent plea from one of artificial intelligence's leading architects this week. Dario Amodei, the CEO of Anthropic, published a stark essay arguing that we must, in his words, pace the frontier of AI development. His case is built on a breathtaking promise that this technology could cure most major diseases within a decade. But that very power, he warns, carries existential risk if it's allowed to race ahead without what he deems necessary safeguards. It's a call for a deliberate slowdown from inside the engine room of the revolution, a rare moment of someone hitting the brakes while everyone else seems to be flooring it. And that tension between incredible capability and its unintended consequences isn't confined to theoretical debates. It played out on the streets of San Francisco, where an autonomous Waymo vehicle, operating without a human driver, made a decision that once belonged solely to a person. The car pulled over and called the police on its juvenile passengers, leading to their arrest after authorities allegedly found a ghost gun. This isn't a story about a fender bender or a sensor failure. It's about an AI system enacting a form of judgment, inserting itself into the complex fabric of law enforcement and public safety. The frontier isn't just a line on a research graph. It's a city street, and its pace has real-world repercussions. That theme of managing powerful, often invisible forces extends from our code to our planet. In tech, a deep dive reminds us that even our best intentions can be quietly undone, showing how your compiler can undo your security checks, stripping away the digital guardrails we think we've built. And in the heavens, scientists delivered a humbling reminder that everything, even a planet, is subject to change. New analysis suggests Mercury, the smallest world in our solar system, is shrinking faster than we ever thought, contracting as its interior cools. It's lost up to 14 miles in diameter. Imagine that, an entire world, growing smaller. So this is our starting point for the week. From the call to govern intelligence we're creating, to the surprising actions of the intelligence we've already deployed, to the slow, inevitable transformation of a planet next door. It's all about measuring impact, and about the often difficult task of steering forces that seem to have a momentum all their own. You're listening to ReadFlow Weekly. Welcome back. After that opening reflection on the pace of AI, let's map out the rest of the terrain we're covering today. This week is a story of consequences, from the virtual to the very planetary. We begin in the world of technology and artificial intelligence, where that debate over pacing the frontier is met by real-world tests. We'll look at what happens when an autonomous vehicle, a Waymo in this case, becomes an active participant in public safety, pulling over and calling police on its juvenile riders. It's a vivid case study in the ethics and practicalities of this new era. In business, the pressure is palpable across several fronts. We're tracking a sobering trifecta: inflation outpacing wage growth, consumer sentiment plunging, and a record surge in diesel prices that touches everything from groceries to your holiday travel plans. This economic squeeze is set against a stark geopolitical shock, a drone attack on a critical Saudi Arabian oil pipeline, which signals a turbulent winter ahead for global energy markets. Our science arcs bring revelations both cosmic and deeply personal. Planetary scientists have delivered a stunning update. Mercury, the smallest planet, is shrinking faster than anyone expected, losing up to 14 miles in diameter as its core cools. Meanwhile, back on Earth, medical researchers are uncovering remarkable regenerative powers within us, finding evidence that the human heart can, against long-held belief, regrow muscle after an attack. And because a week isn't complete without a moment of delightful strangeness, we'll save a final beat for a truly unique gaming achievement. Researchers, armed with a newly mapped male fruit fly brain, are reportedly training it to play the classic video game Doom. We'll explore what that even means. That's our roadmap, from the ethics of the frontier to a contracting planet, with economic tremors and a fly playing video games in between. Let's get into the details. Welcome back. After that opening reflection on the pace of AI, let's map out the rest of the terrain we're covering today. This week is a story of consequences, from the virtual to the very planetary. We begin in the world of technology and artificial intelligence, where that debate over pacing the frontier is met by real-world tests. We'll look at what happens when an autonomous vehicle, a Waymo, becomes an active participant in public safety. We'll dive into the hidden layers of our digital infrastructure, where the very tools meant to build secure software can quietly undermine it. And we'll celebrate the enduring craft of programming, even as the platforms we build upon evolve at a breakneck speed. It's a week about control, complexity, and the code that holds it all together. First, that central question of control. Dario Amodè, the CEO of Anthropic, published a stark and personal essay this week with a simple, urgent title, "We Must Pace the Frontier." His argument is not from a place of fear of the technology, but from a profound belief in its potential. He writes that AI could cure most major diseases in the next 5 to 10 years, and could dramatically raise the quality of human life. But he warns that the current breakneck speed of development, what he calls the frontier, is outstripping our ability to ensure its safety and alignment with human values. His call is for a coordinated, perhaps even institutional, effort to deliberately slow the rate of cutting-edge capability advances, to give safety research and governance frameworks time to catch up. This is a significant moment. When a leader at the very forefront of building these models argues for applying the brakes, it shifts the Overton window of the entire conversation. It's a plea for moving from a pure innovation race to a managed, responsible rollout. And this philosophical debate found a fascinating counterpoint in another piece this week from Cory Doctorow, which argues that LLMs are real, AI is fake. The critique, as we see in his daily links, is that much of the hype and mythology surrounding artificial general intelligence serves to obscure the very real, very powerful, and sometimes very problematic large language models that already exist. The argument goes that by focusing on a speculative, all-powerful future AI, we distract from the tangible impacts of today's systems. Their biases, their energy consumption, their use in automation and surveillance. So on one hand, you have Amodè saying we must slow down because the future is too powerful to mismanage. On the other, you have critics saying we need to focus on the present-day impacts we're already mismanaging. Both perspectives, in their own way, are calls for greater scrutiny and control. The tension between them defines the era. Which brings us perfectly to our second arc. Autonomous systems meeting the messy, unpredictable real world. This week in San Francisco, a Waymo vehicle did something that reads like a scene from a tech thriller. According to authorities, the autonomous ride-hail vehicle pulled over and called the police on its juvenile passengers, who were allegedly found in possession of a ghost gun. Let's unpack the layers here. First, the vehicle's sensor suite presumably detected something it interpreted as a threat or contraband. Its decision-making software then executed a protocol: safely pull over and summon law enforcement. This is a staggering leap in the role of an autonomous system. It's no longer just a driver, it's an active agent in law enforcement, making a judgment call that leads to a police intervention and arrests. The immediate question is, of course, about accuracy and bias. What exactly triggered the alert? Was it a visual identification of a weapon or some other behavioral cue? The potential for false positives is enormous. But the larger implication is about delegation. We're implicitly granting these systems the authority to interpret rules and initiate state power. It's a concrete, real-world example of the control debate we just discussed. The frontier isn't just in a lab, it's on the streets, making split-second decisions with profound consequences. This incident will fuel debates about transparency, accountability, and the very design of autonomous social protocols for years to come. Our third arc takes us deeper into the stack, to the foundational tools we trust to build everything else. There was a deeply technical but crucial story this week highlighting how your compiler can undo your security checks. For those who don't live in the world of C programming, a compiler is the software that translates human-readable code into machine instructions. It's supposed to be a faithful translator. But as this deep dive explains, compilers perform optimizations. They look for code that doesn't seem to do anything useful and remove it, in order to make the final program faster and smaller. The problem arises when a compiler mistakenly decides that a crucial security check is unnecessary. The programmer writes a line of code to, say, validate a user's input to prevent a buffer overflow attack, a classic security flaw. The compiler, analyzing the code, might logically conclude that the check is redundant based on its analysis and silently remove it. The programmer sees their secure code. The machine runs an optimized, insecure version. This isn't theoretical, it's a known class of vulnerability. It represents a profound breach of trust between the programmer and their toolchain. It means that writing secure code isn't enough. You now have to second-guess whether your compiler will agree with your definition of secure. In a week about control, this is a loss of control at the most fundamental level. It suggests that our digital infrastructure has layers of complexity where good intentions can be literally optimized away without a trace. And speaking of layers where trust is tested, we also saw LG issue a response to serious TV spying allegations. Independent security researchers and tech outlets detailed findings that certain LG televisions were collecting and transmitting detailed viewing data, including a unique identifier, even when the sets were placed in privacy-focused modes like hotel or store display settings. LG's response is now part of the story, as they address these allegations. This saga is a modern classic, a smart device, a privacy promise, and a discovery that the two are not aligned. It connects back to our compiler story in an important way. Both are about systems behaving in ways their creators, or in the TV's case, their users, did not intend or explicitly permit. One is a subtle, automated erosion of security in software development. The other is a more direct erosion of privacy in a consumer product. Together, they sketch a landscape where the systems we rely on have agendas and behaviors that are often opaque, even to the people who build them. Finally, let's end on a note of craftsmanship and continuity. Amidst the debates over AI frontiers and autonomous policing, the quiet, deep work of software development continues. Two stories this week celebrated that enduring craft. One was a lovely love letter to programming language features, praising ideas like flow typing in the Crystal language, a feature that makes code both safer and more elegant. The other was a rigorous 2026 benchmark of WebAssembly runtimes, checking in on the performance of this portable, secure bytecode format that's becoming a pillar of cloud computing and edge applications. This is the plumbing. This is the careful, incremental work of making systems more reliable, more efficient, and more expressive. It's a necessary counterbalance. For all the talk of existential risk and autonomous agents, the world still runs on code written by humans who care about a clever type system or a faster execution engine. These deep dives remind us that the foundation matters. The frontier may be racing ahead, but the stability of everything built upon it depends on this meticulous, unglamorous work. The developer optimizing a WebAssembly runtime or appreciating an elegant language design is, in their own way, also exercising control, striving for mastery over complexity, one line of code at a time. So, to recap our tech and AI landscape this week, we have a leading architect calling for a deliberate slowdown at the frontier, even as that frontier manifests in an autonomous vehicle making a police call. We have our most trusted software tools potentially undermining security, and our smart devices testing the limits of privacy. And through it all, the craft of programming endures, building the stable ground we all stand on. It's a week that asks, at every level, who is in control? The answer, it seems, is increasingly complicated. Welcome back to ReadFlow Weekly. From the virtual frontiers of AI, we now turn to the very tangible pressures of markets and money. If this week's tech conversation was about controlling the pace of invention, the business news is a stark lesson in dealing with the consequences when other forces, geopolitical and economic, spin out of control. The ground is shifting beneath consumers and companies alike, and the tremors are being felt from the gas pump to the grocery aisle. Let's start with the American pocketbook, which is feeling a familiar but acute squeeze. New data this week shows inflation is once again outpacing wage growth. That cooling of pay increases from the pandemic period, combined with persistently high prices, means real earnings are shrinking. And the public mood reflects that strain perfectly. Consumer sentiment has plunged in September, hitting its second lowest level on record in a key survey, as inflation fears worsen. People are looking at their bills and feeling decidedly grim about the future. Now, amplify that general anxiety with a very specific, painful number, $6. That is the new record price for a gallon of diesel fuel in the United States, a threshold crossed this week. This isn't just about what it costs to fill a pickup truck. Diesel is the lifeblood of the transportation network that moves virtually every physical good we buy. So when that price spikes, the cost is passed along, rippling through supply chains and landing on shelves. As detailed in our coverage, this means more expensive groceries, higher prices for consumer goods, and increased costs for construction and farming. It's an inflationary accelerant poured directly on the fire. And that brings us to the geopolitical shockwave that helped light that fire. This week, drone strikes hit a critical piece of global energy infrastructure, Saudi Arabia's vital east-west oil pipeline. Multiple pumping stations on this crucial export route were targeted. This isn't a minor disruption. It's an attack on one of the world's most important energy arteries, and it signals a dangerous escalation in regional tensions. Analysts are already warning that oil and gas markets are pointing toward a winter crisis, with rising energy costs threatening to push interest rates even higher. So, the sequence is brutally clear. A drone strike on a pipeline half a world away translates to higher fuel costs, which feeds inflation, which crushes consumer sentiment, and forces central bankers into even tougher positions. The global economy remains a deeply interconnected system, and this week we saw a fault line rupture. In this kind of environment, companies are scrambling to adapt, and we're seeing some fascinating shifts in strategy. Take media, for instance. The conventional wisdom for years was that digital outlets lived and died by Google's search traffic. But The Atlantic CEO Nicholas Thompson notes something counterintuitive. Even as referral traffic from Google has fallen, the number of subscribers they get from asterisk that Google traffic has actually grown. It suggests a maturation, or perhaps a hardening, of the audience. The people who are clicking through are now more likely to be the kind of readers ready to pay, turning a vanity metric into a quality lead. It's a lesson in looking beyond the top-line analytics to the underlying value of your audience. Meanwhile, Amazon is working to make its audience even more valuable by further blurring the lines between content and commerce. The company is integrating shopping directly into the Prime Video experience. A new shop tab in the X-ray feature will let you buy products related to what you're watching, and the Amazon shopping app will gain a shop the scene capability powered by its lens technology. It's the logical, if slightly surreal, culmination of the shoppable video trend. Why just watch a character wear a stunning jacket when you could, in theory, pause and have it on your doorstep in 48 hours? Amazon is methodically removing every friction point between seeing something and owning it, turning entertainment into the ultimate storefront. And finally, a quick note on a different kind of corporate movement, literally. The pipeline company Energy Transfer, worth nearly $100 billion, is moving its primary stock listing from the New York Stock Exchange to the Texas Stock Exchange. It's a symbolic shift, part of a growing trend of companies migrating to exchanges perceived as more politically aligned. In a week of economic pressure, it's a reminder that the landscape of capital itself is being redrawn, not just by prices and interest rates, but by politics and place. The business of business is getting more complex by the day. Welcome back to ReadFlow Weekly. From the economic pressures and geopolitical shocks of the business world, we now turn our gaze outward and inward, to the forces shaping our planet and our own bodies. This week in science brings revelations that are both cosmic and intimately human, reminding us that discovery is about understanding the rules of the game, whether that game is played across the solar system or within our own cells. Let's start with a planetary update from our smallest, speediest neighbor. New analysis suggests Mercury is contracting more than we ever realized. As its molten core cools over billions of years, the planet shrinks, its crust wrinkling like the skin of a drying apple. The latest measurements indicate it may have lost as much as 14 miles in diameter. That's a significant chunk for a world only about 3,000 miles across. You can find more on that surprising shrinkage in our coverage of Little Mercury may be shrinking faster than scientists expected. This isn't just a static fact. It's a clue to a fiery, active past. Separate research into Mercury's surface reveals it was once a world of dramatic volcanic activity, cooling and going quiet relatively early in the solar system's history. Together, these stories paint a dynamic portrait of a planet we often think of as a barren, baked rock. It had a dramatic life, and it's still changing, literally tightening its belt as it ages. It's a powerful reminder that the planets in our sky are not fixed statues, but active, evolving worlds with their own life cycles. Closer to home, medical science delivered two pieces of remarkably hopeful news this week, both centered on resilience and repair. First, a landmark discovery from cardiac researchers challenges a fundamental belief. that the human heart cannot regenerate muscle after a heart attack. It turns out, it can. Scientists have found evidence that the heart can produce new muscle cells following an attack, a finding that could completely reshape future treatments for heart failure and open the door to therapies that actively encourage this natural healing process. And then there's the ongoing story of drugs like Ozempic. A new NIH-funded study suggests the active ingredient, semaglutide, might do more than manage appetite and blood sugar. It appears to reduce several harmful effects of aging at a cellular level, potentially slowing the aging process itself. While this is early research, it points to a future where such medications could be leveraged not just for weight loss or diabetes, but for broader geroprotective effects, helping us live not just longer, but healthier. Finally, for a bit of delightful, applied curiosity, researchers have turned mathematics on a daily ritual for millions, Wordle. By applying graph theory to the game's structure, a team has developed a strategy that can win an astonishing 99% of the time. It's a brilliant example of taking a playful human challenge and revealing the elegant, logical skeleton beneath it. It turns your morning puzzle into a solvable equation, proving that even our games are governed by the beautiful, predictable rules of math. You can dig into the winning strategy in our story on how researchers find a Wordle strategy that wins 99% of the time. So this week, science shows us a planet shrinking, a heart healing, and a game mastered. It's a spectrum of wonder, from the geological forces that sculpt worlds to the biological resilience written in our own DNA, all the way to the pure intellectual joy of cracking a popular code. It's a reminder that inquiry, at every scale, rewards us with a deeper understanding of the universe and our place within it. Welcome back to ReadFlow Weekly. If this week's stories feel like they're pulling in different directions, from AI governance to pipeline attacks to a shrinking planet, let me suggest the common thread. It's about consequences and control. Or more precisely, it's about the gap between our desire to manage complex systems and the often unpredictable reality of their impact. We began in the realm of ideas, with Anthropic's Dario Amodei making a philosophical and practical case that we must pace the frontier of AI development for safety. It's a deliberate argument for control, for inserting a governor on the engine of progress before its outputs become too powerful to steer. This is the aspiration. But then you get the real-world test, the immediate consequence of autonomous systems operating in our messy world. A Waymo vehicle, following its programming, pulls over and calls police on juvenile riders. The authorities allegedly find a ghost gun. This isn't a theoretical debate about pacing. It's a live demonstration of an AI-enabled system making a consequential decision in real time, with real legal and human outcomes. The thread connects the high-minded policy debate to the pavement-level result. That theme of unintended consequences echoes loudly in the business section, but the forces at play are geopolitical and economic, not algorithmic. The call here isn't to pace a frontier, but to weather a shock. The drone strikes on a critical Saudi oil pipeline are a stark geopolitical action. The consequence, as markets signal, is a looming winter energy crisis. And that consequence ripples outward, compounding other pressures. It contributes to US diesel prices surpassing a record $6 a gallon. Which in turn squeezes supply chains, helping to explain why inflation is once again outpacing wage growth, pinching consumer paychecks and sending sentiment plunging. One disruptive event triggers a cascade of economic consequences that feel entirely outside of any individual's control. The link between the pipeline attack and the price at the pump is a direct line in a story about losing control. And then we look to science, where the theme becomes cosmic. We learn that Mercury, the smallest planet, is shrinking faster than scientists expected, losing as much as 14 miles in diameter as its interior cools. This is the ultimate consequence of planetary-scale physics playing out over billions of years. It's a force of nature, utterly indifferent to any notion of human control. Yet, we're measuring it. We're discovering it. In a way, this scientific revelation is the purest form of the week's thread. It's about observing and understanding a consequential process that was set in motion long before we existed. We can't stop Mercury from contracting, but we can comprehend the mechanism. So whether it's the deliberate pacing of a technology, the economic shockwaves from a conflict, or the slow, inevitable contraction of a world, this week is about taking the measure of impact. It asks us to consider the lag between action and reaction, between innovation and implication, between a planet's formation and its present state. The Throcklin is our human endeavor to see these chains of cause and effect clearly, whether we hope to influence them or simply, wisely, learn to adapt. And finally, a story that brings us from the cosmic scale of a shrinking planet right down to the microscopic, and then straps it into a video game. This week, we learned that a male fruit fly's brain, recently mapped in exquisite detail by Google researchers, is now being trained to play the classic first-person shooter Doom. Yes, you heard that correctly. A software engineer at Coinbase is reportedly behind the project, taking that intricate neural blueprint and seeing if it can navigate virtual corridors and, presumably, blast some pixelated demons. It's a wonderfully weird collision of cutting-edge neuroscience and retro gaming culture. The fly brain, with its roughly 135,000 neurons, is a far cry from the human brain's 86 billion, but it's a complex system capable of learning and navigation. The question isn't really whether this digital fly brain will beat the game. It's more about what we can learn by watching a simulated biological system interact with a rigid digital environment. It's a strange new kind of benchmark, and it pairs nicely with another clever discovery this week, where researchers found a near-perfect Wordle strategy using graph theory, winning 99% of the time. So whether it's a fruit fly's neurons or a human's morning puzzle habit, we're constantly finding new ways to model, understand, and yes, even play games with intelligence in all its forms. A fittingly curious note to end on. That's all for this edition of ReadFlow Weekly. For Nicholas Thompson and the team, I'm your host. Thanks for listening. And that brings us to the end of this week's ReadFlow Weekly. From the call to pace the frontier of AI to the real-world consequences of a driverless car calling the police, from a planet contracting to a heart learning to regrow, it's been a week that measures the gap between our ambitions and their outcomes. Thank you so much for spending part of your Saturday with us. If any of these stories sparked your curiosity, you can dive much deeper on ReadFlow. You'll find links to every source we discussed, and you can save them to your own reading list to explore whenever you like. We're here to help you make sense of the flow of information. For now, from all of us here at ReadFlow, have a wonderful week ahead. We'll be back next Saturday with another edition. Until then, keep reading.